secret agent following a suspect kind of way, you know, like, right? They've had no conversation, right? They haven't said like, hey, Jesus, can we follow you? Or what would it be like to follow you? They're just, the Texans are just following him. And Jesus kind of realizes they're these two guys that are following him around. And he says, he knows what's going on. He says, what do you want? What do you desire? What is your heart longing for? See, these two disciples of John, what we learn is that they want to become disciples of Jesus. And the first question that Jesus asks them in this, I think of it as a job interview. It's not that, but I think it kind of strikes me as such. Like Jesus wants to know what's going on with these two. And the first thing he wants to know is about their heart. Because Jesus knows that everything flows from the heart. See, friends, at the end of the day, what drives your actions and your words is the thing that you desire. It's what you are seeking after. It's the thing that you love and the thing that you want that will propel you to do what you do in this world. Now, what's interesting is in Christian circles and even in kind of the world at large, we tend to not think this way. We, instead of asking, what do you want, you know what question we ask? What do you think? What do you believe? Isn't this kind of the primary question in American Christianity, especially evangelical Christianity? What do you believe? What do you think? Right? If you're following Jesus and you are a disciple of Jesus, what we often want to know is, what's your doctrine? What's your theology? And that's the primary question that we ask of someone. And I want to be very clear, what you think matters. There's no question about that. And the scriptures are very clear about this as well. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, what you think, it does matter a great deal. But what we've done is we've made that the only question we ask. Hey, we say, do you believe the right thing? Okay, then you're in, we say, right? Have you said the right words? Excellent, you're all set. Can you recite this passage or do you know those Bible stories? Then our job is done, right? We place a great deal. Sometimes the only thing we value is what we think, the information that we have, what we believe. And again, hear me, what we think matters, but it alone is not enough. And I'm not just talking about in discipleship. In general, what you think alone isn't enough to change. Let me give you an example. Maybe for New Year's here, you're saying, you know what I'm going to do in 2019? I'm going to exercise more regularly. That's a great goal. Actually, it's a terrible goal. It's not specific, but it's a great idea, right? You should really hone in on that. And so let's say that's your idea. I want to do that. I want to be more fit. I want to have more energy, whatever it might be. So I'm going to exercise more regularly. And so you think a lot about that goal, like when I'm going to do it and where would I do it and what exercises am I going to do and where's the closest massage therapist for afterwards, you know, and like you might go through a lot of thinking about the goal, and all of it is important. If you're going to exercise more, you should have some idea of what you're going to do and when you're going to do it, and all that's very valuable. But is it alone enough? If you collect all the information about exercise and fitness, and you know everything there is to know about how to have the best exercise regimen, is that alone going to cause you to change your behavior and become someone different? Of course not. You can have all the information in the world, and that alone is not enough. See, there's something about our heart that has to enter the equation. Do you desire to change your physical habits? Is your inner self aligned with that goal? You know, we use the expression sometimes today, is it in your heart to do X, Y, or Z? And that's, I think, what Jesus is asking us, because he knows that everything you do flows from your heart. See, we've been duped into imagining that if we just think the right thing or get the best information, then we'll get to where we want to go and to who we want to be. But thinking alone, information alone, isn't enough. Are we tracking on this? Let me go one step further then. So Jesus asks this question, what do you want? Which is to say, what do you love? I want to share a quote from James K.A. Smith's book, You Are What You Love. It's a book that really is helping us frame the conversation we're having over these next number of weeks. It's a great book. I'd invite you to pick it up. James Smith, You Are What You Love. And he says this, to be human is to have a heart. You can't not love. So the question isn't whether you will love something as ultimate. The question is what you will love as ultimate. To be human is to have a heart. You can't not love. See, every single one of us, and there are no exceptions, loves something or someone first and foremost. It's not whether you will love something as ultimate. The question is what you will love as ultimate. And whatever you love, you will pursue. Whatever you want, you will chase after it. If I want to be Isaiah Thomas, if that's my vision of the good life, and it was for a while, then everything I do will flow out of that. If I want financial security and comfort, if that's my vision of the good life, then everything I do will be connected to that vision. So you and I and everyone else walking around on this planet have some vision of the good life. There's some picture that we carry about what life can be or should be. And that vision tends to drive us forward. And because everything flows out of our hearts, that means that our actions and our words and our priorities and what we do in this world, it flows from whatever we think the good life looks like. I think this is why Jesus says something about this in Matthew 6. This is maybe a familiar passage to some of us. Jesus is in this really important teaching, and at the end of the chapter, he says this, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after such things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, and for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. You've probably heard that verse a million times. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. I want to just talk for a second about that word seek, because it might look familiar to you. Dizeteo. That's the same word that was back in John 1 when Jesus asked, what do you want or love? Yeah, it's the same word that here gets translated seek. So when Jesus says seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, Jesus is asking a question about our hearts, about what we long after and long for. And he says, set your heart on the kingdom, because let's be clear, every one of us is seeking after some kind of kingdom. To be human is to love something ultimate. Again, every single one of us has a picture, a vision of what the good life looks like. And when Jesus here in Matthew 6 and in other places where he talks about the kingdom of God, that's biblical shorthand for the good life, for life as it is supposed to be, life in all of its fullness, or to use another biblical phrase, life in all of its abundance. That's what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the kingdom of God. And here, Jesus, in Matthew 6, he describes some parts of what the kingdom of God, of what the good life looks like. For example, the good life, according to Jesus, is one in which you are free from worry about having enough. When you stop worrying, when you get off the treadmill of believing that you'll never have enough and that you have to scratch and claw for everything that you can get, when you get off that treadmill, that's the good life, Jesus says. When you stop worrying, when you're free of that anxiety, when you trust God for what you need, that's the good life, Jesus says. And if that is your vision of how life is supposed to be and what the good life looks like, and you set your heart on that thing, if you give your heart to it, everything else will begin to flow in that direction towards the kingdom. So Jesus says, seek it. Or to put it to the question from John 1, what do you want? Now that is a simple question, and at the same time, it is incredibly difficult to answer. Because here's the thing. We all know what we should want. If I say to you, what should you love first and foremost? You all will answer correctly, in all likelihood. We know the right answer. But what happens often is that our love, our primary love, the thing that we want in this world, it just kind of runs under our consciousness. It just is there operating, humming along, working, moving, driving, pushing us forward in a certain direction. And it does all of that work without us even being aware of it. When I set my heart on becoming the next Isaiah Thomas, initially it was a conscious decision. I want to be like him. But after a while, after I started to develop certain habits and rhythms and practices that propelled me towards that vision, albeit rather clunkily, I mean, I never came anywhere close to him, but you know, I still, those things started moving me in that direction. There came a point where I didn't even have to think about that desire, that longing consciously anymore. It just was there, operating under the surface, propelling me forward, moving me in a certain direction. Now, I'm older now, and I've given up on becoming number 11, but I still find that the desire to be liked and praised and affirmed and celebrated, that desire is still right here. And if my vision of the good life is to have a life where everyone loves me and everyone affirms me and thinks I'm amazing and wonderful, if that's what I think the good life is, and if I could just get to that, then I would be happy and fulfilled, right? The life would come in all of its abundance. If that's my vision of the good life, and I've set my heart on it, everything's going to flow in that direction. And I'm going to make choices. Quite often, if in fact not most often, unconsciously, I'm going to make choices that are going to move me in that direction because that's where my heart is aimed. See, if your vision of the good life is security and safety, and your heart has been given over to that vision, it will operate under the surface. You won't even be necessarily aware of it, but it will be moving you forward in that direction. Right? If your desire, if your appetite, your longing is for position, if it's for power, if it's for you name it, eventually that vision is going to be the thing that your heart gets set on and that will move you in its direction. So the question is, what do you want? It's a simple question, and it's really quite hard to answer. But if we can be reflective people who think carefully and probe deeply and ask the Spirit to give us wisdom to understand what it is that we really actually truly want, if that can become conscious, if we can become aware of it, then we can recalibrate. But if it's always operating under the surface, if it's never named, never really understood or known, there's little chance of us actually making any meaningful change in our life. Meaningful change will come when we really explore and probe and get to the answer of that question. So we're going to leave a few minutes here to ponder that. I'm going to ask Teresa to come up, and she'll just kind of play a little bit of background music for us so we can have just a little bit of space to take that piece of paper that was on a chair near you. And you don't need that piece of paper, but that might be helpful to doodle. Maybe one of those questions will really strike you that's on the back, and you want to, maybe you need to do some writing. Maybe the image is helpful in some way to you. You know, in the 2 or 3 minutes that we'll take here, you and I are probably not going to figure this out in its entirety. What we're doing here this morning is the beginning of a reflection. And I invite you to enter into it as fully as you can, but also to know that we'll have to do a little bit more work in the days ahead. This little section of time here is just the beginning of probably the reflection that we're going to have to do. So what do you want? I mean, like, really? What are you after? What are you hoping for? What's your heart set on? Let's just take a couple of minutes to reflect on that, and then I'll close us in prayer.
I'm going to invite you to pray here with me as we ask God to give us what we need in this moment, because God, the reality is that as we probe a question like this, all sorts of stuff can come up. I mean, this is, no pun intended, the heart of the matter. This is where it all starts. And so some of us might be very hesitant to even ask this question, because we don't want to face the answer if we're honest. And so, God, we ask for courage. Maybe it's what we need more than anything, to go deep here and to be honest with ourselves and with you about what it is that we've set our heart on. Give us courage. God, also give us kindness and grace. Enough kindness that we can be kind to ourselves, so that if we discover that we're wanting and chasing after something that isn't you, shame won't kind of get in the door. God, keep us free of that. Shame has no place and does no good. And so if we discover something that needs to be recalibrated, so be it. Help us to be kind to ourselves as you are kind to us. And then clarity. If something is off, God, if our heart's desire is not set on the thing that really does matter most, show us what we might do to become different people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. James Smith says this. It's another quote from his book. You can't not bet your life on something. You can't not be headed somewhere. We live leaning forward, bent on arriving at the place we long for. We live leaning forward. In this moment, we have the opportunity to lean into what is true. And what is true is that there is a God who loves us beyond our understanding, and who has come and keeps coming for us, no matter whether we are headed towards true north or not. And that same God demonstrated that love by pouring out everything, so that we may be filled and renewed, in fact, so that we might know life in all of its abundance. And so as we share this meal together today, as we pass the bread and the cup from person to person, we do so remembering not only that God has come and